Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. I'm John Williams, and John Beaver regularly joins us, a financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. Phase3advisory.com's his website. We've been focusing on some medical things today, and I see that you are describing some of the problems or concerns with the economy as a virus itself, right, John?
That's exactly right. So if we think about it through that lens today, we've got this virus out here, which is really, it's our addiction to not balancing the government budget. And so we have the markets that are telling us, okay, the patient may be getting a little bit better here and be able to get out of bed, but this may be where you feel good in the midday, but you still got that evening coming where you're going to feel worse again. The economic stats are telling us, okay, the fever's breaking, inflation's coming under control. The recession risk is, well, are we going to have that lingering fatigue that lasts for quite a while? And we have the Fed that's about done giving us that yucky medicine of raising interest rates. The bank squeeze kind of lets us know we're near the end of the infection, but you know what? You could have that lingering cough. It's going to be the result of the virus. And then the big issue, the government debt. Are we going to have a case of long COVID or chicken pox where you have that risk of shingles lurking? Or are we looking at a Lyme disease that can last for quite a while and take years to overcome? So we're that person that borrows more on the credit cards just to make the payments. That's what we're looking at.
And if they don't come to an agreement on the debt, that's terminal, right?
No, well, not really, because that's going to take care of itself. Every time we come up to this, yeah, there's lately some of the wrangling over it. Eventually it gets resolved. And as I understand it, even ultimately, the president could invoke the 14th Amendment and just go ahead and, make the payments that need to be made. So I think we will get through this. But right now, it's this posturing of how are we going to deal with this. And the delay today, I don't know whether to take that as a good thing or not a good thing. It's hard to know. But there at least seems to be some bits of agreement that are coming together.
So you don't think it's wrong. We don't need to dwell on this. It's almost a political conversation. But what degree should the president negotiate with the House on the planks that they have relative to this debt issue? The president said it should be non-negotiable. We can't default on the debt. The Republicans are saying we want these things. Should the president accommodate them a little bit on those items?
Yeah, both sides need to compromise. And this used to happen, I guess, quite regularly many, many years ago. But it was interesting. I heard a couple of days ago, former Rep. David McIntosh and former Senator Evan Bayh, both sides, on either side of the aisle from Indiana, they were interviewed together. And they both agree the deficit must be reduced, but we got to get through, at least through raising the debt ceiling. Then you can negotiate how do you deal with getting that deficit back under control.
I have not heard anybody say, here's how we're going to spend more reasonably. It's, what is it, $30-plus trillion dollars now. Does anybody have a long-term plan that you like to address that?
I haven't seen one. Nobody wants to deal with it. It's almost $32 trillion when this, debt ceiling is raised. It's going to be over $32 trillion. And it truly is a staggering amount of money. That is the long-term issue that is really dangerous, and it must be dealt with. But the problem is the only thing that's creating an urgency is, well, maybe we'll hold the debt ceiling hostage to try and deal with this situation.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I'm in both camps. I suspect you and most people are. We should not default on our debt. And by golly, the Republicans aren't crazy for saying we need to do some of these things. Of course we need to do some things. Parallel tracks. Let's do them both. Let's not default. And let's listen to these people and figure out what we can do.
And I think that's where most Americans are at. We're all kind of getting disgusted with this thing. But the bottom line of this, we have to figure out how to deal with this in the markets, right? So, politicians are going to wrangle about this. What does this mean for us as investors?
Talking to John Beaver here on the Wintrust Business Lunch from Phase 3 Advisory Services. We spent the first few minutes today, John, talking about the possibility of defaulting on the debt. You don't think that's going to happen. You said, more importantly, let's just talk about where the markets are and what investors should be thinking about. So what direction does that lead us?
So remember, long term, we're in economic spring. This is like a 60-year cycle, so it's a really big picture. And you come into spring after winter. We know about that in Chicago. And winter is when everything dies, so that's your major financial crisis. That was 2008, but the whole process takes about 15 years. And that's where you have this debt collapse. But as you come out of that, you heal. And there's been a lot of government spending and printing that takes place during those periods of time. And so that eventually creates inflation, which is our environment. But the market doesn't trade on that. The market trades on very short-term, you know, six-month issues. So where we're at right now is the stock market is still range-bound, in my opinion, between 3,800 and 4,200 on the S&P 500. We're at the top end of that range. The good news is that the bond market has stabilized. But think about the stock market and what it's telling us. You know, the S&P is really 500 stocks, but 10% of the companies, 50 stocks, make up over half the index. The other 90% make up the other half. So what's happening is, although this index is up, if we equal weight every company, actually it's flat. In fact, 48% of the stocks in the S&P are actually down this year. And we're still the Russell 2000, which is of the 3,000 largest companies, you're looking at the smaller 2,000. That's actually down, whereas the NASDAQ is up. So I would read this right now, as we're still in a long-term bear market. Short-term, we've had this rally, maybe a stealth bull market. But we're at this point where we've rallied back 50%, and that's the danger zone where we could have a failure again. So I'm cautious on stocks. International clearly is still in a rally mode. So that looks good. Now the market's trying to look forward in the economic stats to figure out what the Fed is going to do. And right now, those stats are getting better. GDP is maybe moderating down a little bit. The jobs being created is still good. The Fed has raised rates. Now it's looking like maybe they're going to stall. Mm-hmm. We still have job growth, though. And we still have inflation above where it should be. So that means that we still have the risk of Fed raising rates.
Do you think no increase from the Fed is already baked into the markets? People are anticipating that?
Yeah, in fact, right now, it's showing us about a 95% probability that they will not increase in June. And what's interesting is that the markets are predicting a pivot or a reduction in rates before the end of the year. I don't really see a chance of that. The Federal Reserve has made it very clear they're shooting for 2% inflation. And, you know, the first drop from 9% inflation down to 5%, that was easy. Now it's going to get really difficult to get where we're at right now down to 2%.
Yeah. It's like losing weight. You know, if you're 100 pounds overweight, the first 50 falls off pretty fast. And then it gets harder to get the last 10 or 20. But from 9.5 to less than 5%, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, and that's been really important. So now one of the things that's fighting the Fed is actually if rates continue to kind of moderate down, and especially in the 10-year Treasury, which affects mortgage rates, we're seeing now mortgage rates could break 6%. And that just means more buying again. We've got a lot of pent-up demand for housing. And so that's going to keep those housing prices pretty sticky to the upside, and housing makes up 40% of the CPI.
I'm hearing, though, that the recession is going to come sooner or later. The lag is in place, and folks are going to lose their jobs. It is going to feel more personal later this year. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but it's really a hard picture to read. You know, the Fed has said they want to see the unemployment rate at 4%. But if we can get that inflation rate down and stay down in that 2% range without having 4% unemployment, then maybe we won't have that recession. It's very hard to tell right now. Really no visibility. But look at this. We've never had an inverted yield curve without at least an earnings recession. That means a company's earnings come down. That's what we're seeing this year. Most of the time, an inverted yield curve, and again, that's where short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates, most of the time that also predicts a recession in the economy. But because this is economic spring, typically the recessions in economic spring aren't that bad. Think about the 1950s and 60s, which was the last time we were in this current environment. And of course, that, you know, followed the Great Depression, which followed this massive bubble in the late 1920s. So it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but it will rhyme. So you have these recessions. They're just not as severe. And recessions are good because they clean up poorly run companies, which we're seeing with some of the banks.
How should people adjust their portfolios? Should they start to move more into equities? Should they be in gold? Where should they put some extra money right now?
So long-term gold shows us that it just keeps up with inflation. So I don't see that that's a good long-term prospect. You can keep up with inflation with short-term treasuries doing the same thing. So because stocks may still have one more push lower, I think it's time still to be cautious on stocks. I think we're near the top of the range. So anybody that needs money in the short term, let's say over the next 1 to 2 years, maybe they should pull some money off the table if they don't want to take that risk. I do think we get back to the previous high within 3 years. It's just, where's that bottom? Have we had it yet or not? So this takes us back to dollar cost average, dollar cost average, dollar cost average. This is a perfect environment. In fact, if you were to take a look at the 1960s and 70s, that was, again, a really good period of time to just keep putting the money in a month at a time. It's very hard to pick the bottom. That's on the stock side. Now, specifically, maybe we have an opportunity still in natural resource stocks if we're going into this inflationary environment. I think that this is a good onboarding period of time. Communication services, the sentiment is very negative. That might be an opportunity. I think internationally, we still have a long-term way to go. They've started a rally this year. They've underperformed for over 10 years compared to the U.S., and usually that's a pendulum that swings back and forth, U.S. for 10 years, international for 10 years, so that could be an opportunity. And, of course, what we've talked about several times, short-term interest rates are now above the inflation rate, so we got an opportunity in short-term T-bills, I-bonds, and Treasury inflation-protected securities.
Yeah, we hear about those a lot with Terry Savage. She's in that camp on Wednesdays, and we always appreciate your thoughts too, John Beaver, a financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. Okay, John, out of time. Thanks for your visit today.
Okay, looking forward to talking with you next time.
Got more business news for you with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A Chicago-area marijuana retailer is expanding with the purchase of a cultivation operation near downstate Carbondale. Cranes reports New Era is buying the AISO marijuana growing operation in Murfreesboro. The acquisition will expand New Era's statewide operation. New Era employs about 130 people at 6 stores in the Chicago area, Champaign-Urbana and Peoria. Its cultivation capability dropped after the recent dissolution of a partnership agreement. Fitch Ratings says Illinois' budget outlook remains good and within earlier forecasts, despite a drop in revenue last month. The Civic Federation watchdog group has also given the thumbs up to the state's 2024 spending plan. That budget projects a $165 million surplus next year. The Federation is concerned about non-pension spending. Fitch says despite tax revenue declines, the state is on track to comfortably exceed its adopted budget revenue forecast. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And now the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday with gardening guru Jim Fizzell.
I'm here.
That's good. We're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Big day Sunday, Mr. Fizz.
Mother's Day. It's a day all of us need to celebrate because there's not a one of us that doesn't have a mother or has had a mother, and we need to really celebrate the day and take care of these wonderful ladies who have taken care of us. One of the things I like to do, and I've done this for years, is get some flowers. There are all kinds of, you can get cut flowers, bouquets of cut flowers, and if you go to your neighborhood florist, now they can make one up for you that's absolutely gorgeous. Or you can get cut flowers at the big box shops or chain stores. You can make a bouquet by yourself. Also, potted plants. There are a lot of those around, flowering potted plants, and even potted plants that don't flower that they can keep throughout the year. Or if your mom or grandma likes to do outdoor stuff, a good time to get a rose bush. There are a lot of them that are available right now in bloom. Rhododendrons are in bloom now, and they are also gorgeous. If it's not a plant that you're interested in, maybe a membership to the Botanic Garden or to the Arboretum.
Good ideas. What else is on your mind, sir?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about lawns today. They are the number one gardening project. There are at least 45 or 50 million acres of lawns throughout the United States. About 100 million home lawns in the United States. The estimated expenditure for lawn care is about $25 to $30 billion a year. What do we get for all that money and time that we spend on our lawns? Well, a well-maintained lawn adds about 15 to 20% of the value of your property. But on a practical matter, lawns catch carbon dioxide and sulfur dioxide from the air, converting them to oxygen. 625 square feet of a lawn provide enough oxygen for one person for a whole day. A lawn traps lots of dirt. They act as erosion filters. So there are a lot of good things about lawns. enjoy it. That's the important thing that you need to do. Get out and enjoy your lawn. Sit out there and have a cool one.
Just one? Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, from the farm to your belly, today's National Nutty Fudge Day. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Mother's Day's right around the corner. You're thinking about buying mom maybe a special treat, or maybe you would just like some of the best candy anywhere. Here's Katie Anderson Tedder, the manager at Anderson's Candy Shop. Boy, we talk about them a lot on WGN. Katie, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I saw something that said that you guys were named the best candy maker in the United States by the LA Times.
Yes, and Consumers Digest in the mid-90s. Yeah, they did polls where they reached out all over the country and had samples sent in, and we won both of those. Yeah, and one was 94 and one was 97. I don't think they've done it since, but I'd be excited to submit again if they do. And back in 2019, we were on the Chicago Tribune's bucket list of desserts you must eat before you before you die.
What's the best candy there? You do a lot of things. What's the one you like the best?
Oh gosh. Well, we make more than 30 types of chocolate bars. So the top three that I always go back to are the raspberry mallow, our peanut butter cream, and our English toffee are probably my top three favorites.
You guys do a pretty good fudge, too.
I'm here at work today with the kids in the background.
So no, really? I hadn't noticed.
I apologize.
Hey, Katie, what's going on there for crying out loud? Who are those little people with you?
This is our fifth generation of Andersons here, upstairs here with me today. My daughter, Georgia, my son, Arthur, and my little 10-month-old, Grant.
Wow. So with that young family, are you involved in the candy making as well?
Yeah, you know, we are a small shop. We have between our two stores probably about 18 employees, but Tracy, my mom, the owner, and myself, we do a little bit of everything. We change the light bulbs, we help the customers, we help make all the chocolates and dip them, and so definitely, I think that's part of, for us, being intimately involved with the whole process helps us really guarantee the quality and that what goes out in an Anderson's Candy Shop box is going to taste like what it tasted like the first time you had it, whether it was last week or 60 or 80 years ago. Mm. So,
you know, I know that you guys do a lot of sales in your store. You even promote the communities in your commercials as much as your stores. Do you do a lot of online sales too, though? How are people buying your stuff?
Yeah, we ship all over the country. So I have customers in Texas and California as well as in my neighborhood. And that we started doing that actually a lot in the 90s when we got the publicity from being ranked amongst the best candy makers in North America. That really inspired us to, hey, get online when that was a new thing. But the pandemic also ratcheted that up, our need to be able to serve people online. So that's probably before the pandemic was maybe 20% of our business. And now post-pandemic, it's still probably 30% of our business. So,
30%,
but we also, we do a lot of outdoor events, wine walks, fairs and festivals, and anytime, man, there's something to do, like the Tulip Festival down the road from me or a pumpkin patch. I really like to promote our whole community because I feel like all boats rise with the tide. So if I can give our customers several reasons to come see me out here in Richmond, Illinois, I'm going to do that so they can make a day of it. And, of course, enjoy their candy while they're here. So
your stores are in Richmond but also in Barrington too, right?
Yes. Yep. We're on Main Street in Richmond, Illinois, right by the Wisconsin border, and also Main Street in Barrington, downtown Barrington.
If I wanted to order online, AndersonsCandyShop.com, right?
That is correct. Yes, AndersonsCandyShop.com. And that's us. And you'll see a caricature of my father, who led the shop for years, and all of the pictures of our candy and descriptions. And if you're a history fan, there's a tab called History on our website, and you can look at stories and photographs from all 103 years of our family business, which is kind of a fun trip.
Yeah, that's the way to run a family business. Katie Anderson Tedder is the manager and mom at Anderson's Candy Shop. Tend to those kids and keep doing what you're doing, Katie. It's nice to hear from you.
John, I have to tell you real quick, you do such a good job with this, your business show. As someone who runs a small business in Chicagoland, I appreciate all the different angles that you look at what it means to run a business, to be an owner, a manager, a staff person, a customer. I feel like you have a wide view and do a service to everybody who's listening because you help them understand better what it's like. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Wow. Well, I'll pass that along to producer Pete and all of our guests. We got a pretty good batch of people here, don't we?
You really do, yes.
That's nice of you to say, Katie. My best to your family.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, all the moms out there. Bye.